This episode is brought to you by Novillo Mattresses, where comfort meets innovation, giving you the perfect night's sleep you've been dreaming of. Are you tired of tossing and turning all night, struggling to find a comfortable position? Look no further than Novillo Mattresses, the ultimate sleep solution designed with your comfort in mind. Experience the luxury of a good night's sleep with Novillo's advanced mattress technology. Their mattresses are crafted using the finest materials, providing the perfect balance of support and softness. Whether you prefer a plush feel or a firmer surface, Novillo has a mattress that caters to your unique sleep preference. But what sets Novillo apart from the rest? It's their commitment to innovation and quality. Each mattress is thoughtfully engineered to provide optimal spinal alignment, reducing pressure points, and ensuring you wake up feeling refreshed and rejuvenated every morning. Say goodbye to restless nights and hello to blissful sleep with Novillo's cutting-edge cooling technology. Their mattresses are designed to regulate temperature, keeping you cool and comfortable throughout the night. No more waking up in a sweat, just pure, uninterrupted sleep. Worried about allergens and dust mites? Don't be. Novillo mattresses are hypoallergenic and resistant to common allergens, ensuring a healthier sleep environment for you and your loved ones. And here's the best part. Novillo is committed to affordability. They believe that everyone deserves a great night's sleep without breaking the bank. That's why their mattresses are competitively priced, giving you the best value for your money. But don't just take our word for it. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who have already made the switch to Novillo. Even when your mom comes to my place, just know she's getting a great night's sleep, among other things. Experience the difference for yourself and discover what it truly means to sleep like you've never slept before. Using promo code Sweezy or the link in our description, you can save 10% off any purchase you make through Novillo directly. Ready to transform your sleep experience? Visit their website today and choose the Novillo mattress that suits your needs. Your journey to a better night's sleep starts now with Novillo mattresses. And a reminder, when you use our links, you directly support this show.
When you want it the most, there's no easy way out. When you're ready to go and your heart's left in doubt, don't give up on your faith, but come to those who believe it, and that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
Hello, and what is going on, my fellow Schwoke Lords? What is up? Welcome back to yet another episode of Cancel Sweezy, better known as the Lord's trademark favorite podcast. How's everyone going? It is I, Sweezy, aka the Foreplay King, back at it again with hot topics. Top topics that some of you probably aren't ready for, which is okay. We all start somewhere. You know what bands had to start somewhere? But that band, and you know what they did? They performed at a Denny's that was closing down. And, you know, follow your dreams, folks. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. You know, follow your dreams. Fun teaching stories time. The kids are too well behaved, and that's the it's at a point where it's become a problem, which for me, it's a problem. For others, it's probably a good thing. But for me, it's kind of like, come on, do something, you know, start some drama or something. I want to see something cool. You know, I don't want to like have to deal with a kid personally, but like, you know, I want to hear some drama, see what's going on in the world. So when I do music classes, what I like to do is I'll play some music before they all come in. One, if it's band, it's usually Black Cow by Steely Dan. And one thing that's good is that they're like 5-6 minute songs, so I can put it on and say, I want you guys to be all set up with your instruments ready to go by the time the song ends. And then they all actually get their instruments put together. And so I'm like, you know, it's fun. And it also puts the vibes in check and gives us good vibes, because I need, if I'm going to be in somewhere, I need all the good vibes I can get. So, you know, I usually do that. So, you know, like I'm saying, these kids are too well behaved, and it was kind of boring to me. So I had this idea, you know, maybe if I play Rumors by Fleetwood Mac before classes, then maybe something interesting will happen. You know, I really shouldn't be wishing for this, because I guess like when everyone's too cool, you know, like I probably shouldn't be stirring the pot a little bit, but. You know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you put the pieces out there and then see if someone puts the puzzle together, you know? And if you don't know anything about Fleetwood Mac's album Rumours, that is probably one of the best albums of all time, by the way. And it's a great listen. I think it's aged. Recording-wise, it did not age well, but I think music and, like, song-wise, aged. Chef's kiss. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. So Fleetwood Mac's album Rumours is from a time in the band when, one, they were all cheating on each other with each other, which would bring tension to any sort of workplace and any sort of friend group. When we're all cheating on each other with each other, that is, you know, that is quite possibly what will probably happen is and so usually there's drama going on there, but let's add this. Let's add heroin into the mix, okay? That's what Fleetwood Mac's Rumours is all about. It's just conflict with your other band members, and then add heroin involved. And that's how you get, and you know, when usually a band would break up, they decided to stick together, and they all probably still hate each other, but the music's good, and that's all that really matters. You know, what's good for the music isn't always good for the life, like I said last week. And they released Rumours, and basically all the topics on that album were basically, was everyone cheating on each other with each other, and their relationships, and their heartbreaks, and their struggles to it. And I think the coolest part about the album is if you listen to, like, the vinyl record of it, the second side, the first side ends with Songbird, and then you flip the disc over, and it starts with The Chain, which was, like, so fucking cool. Like, you just flip it over, boom, 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 boom. I'm not going to sing the guitar part, but no, it's so fucking cool. Great album. If you haven't listened to it, I would suggest anyone listen to Rumours by Fleetwood Mac, because it is the best. I was hoping, you know, maybe play some music. You know, I don't want to know the reason why love keeps right on walking on down the line. You know, that was the one I was playing. And I don't think it started anything. So, unfortunately, that's unfortunate for me. But, you know, I've always had these thoughts of, you know, I don't have kids. And this is kind of an unrealistic idea. So, for all the parents out there who are like, that's unrealistic, I'm like, I know. But, like, you know, if I have a daughter, you know, why not, you know, have her do piano lessons, dance lessons, voice lessons, you know, take her to Broadway shows or musicals and stuff like that. You know, I'm just throwing all the pieces out there, you know, and just seeing what would happen. We'll see if she goes for it or not. But I have to also, like, if I do decide to do this, I have to remember she might not want to do this. And, you know, I have to be okay with that, you know. It's just this idea of, like, putting the pieces into place and having them fall into place, you know, that way, you know, just see, you know, she's an incredible singer, a great dancer, and, you know, and then knows how to play piano at least enough to, you know, be able to work on, like, her own, you know, to be able to practice independently easily, you know, without having to, like, rely on anything else, you know. It was just, you know, it's super interesting, you know, just an idea. Like, that's exactly what my parents did. And, like, they signed me up. Like, I don't even remember asking. Like, they signed me up for baseball, soccer, basketball. Like, and I think those are the three, the only three I've ever really played. And, you know, you're just a little kid. And the excuse is, we just wanted you to have fun with your friends. But when I decided I didn't want to do it anymore, that did not go over well. So I know that was a lie. And to be honest with you,
congratulations. You played yourself.
You got fucking DJ Khaled coming up in here. But, what are you trying to convince your children to do? It's not like you tell them to do something or convince them. It's more or less just putting those things out there and just seeing what happens. I mean, I have music instruments all the time. So it's like, not, you know, she wants to play guitar or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that'll be pretty easy. I don't know if I would be able to teach you. I actually could probably. I don't know. Yeah, that is a weird dynamic. Like, one-on-one music lessons with, like, your parent. You know, my mom was my teacher in kindergarten, and that was awful. And so, you know, looking at, I'm like, I don't know if parents should be teaching their kids instruments, but like, I don't know, that could go to someone else. And, you know, not, it doesn't mean like everyone who knows how to play guitar knows how to teach. Like, I have teaching experience, reluctant teaching experience with it. So it's not necessarily something I couldn't do, but yeah, it could be a little too, unless it's dad's girl, you know, she loves me, you know, that has to be the nice thing about having a daughter. Like, as a guy, you're like, I don't have to teach him how to be a man, you know? It's like, it's not the toxic masculinity being a man. It's like all the bullshit men need to be better than, I would say, you know, in like regards of being a man, like how, you know, if assuming your boy is into women, you got to teach him, like, there's a lot of kind of respectfulness you need to be treating women with and stuff like that. There's stuff like that. And, you know, there's, you know, good work, at, you know, there's just all that stuff, you know. It's not necessarily toxic masculine traits, you know. We're not talking about, like, you know, it's like, if you wipe your ass, you're gay, you know. We're not going to teach our kids that. But, crazy other stuff. I don't even know where I was going. Oh, yeah, teaching, getting kids into shit. Interesting. Cool and interesting. If you haven't been watching X-Men 97, I am telling you right now, it is the fucking shit. Like, episode 3 came out while I'm recording this, so it might be a little updated by the time the episode comes out, but, episode 2, they did the Trial of Magneto, and they're, like, basically, like, almost, they're adapting story, like, straight-up comic stories, straight-up in these episodes, but they're also changing it enough, because sometimes, and I think it comes with something with comic writing, it's like, almost, like, you don't fully plan ahead. I don't write comic books, so I don't write comic books yet, but I'm not sure, but it always seems like if it's like a weekly thing, you know, like sometimes, you know, like soap operas are like have weird plots and like they change all the time and have weird plot points and stuff like that, you know, stuff like that's usually weird. Usually when you watch a movie or animated adaptation of it, you know, they do take their own liberties and make their own, tell the story in their own unique way, like Civil War, Captain America Civil War, you know, they didn't do like the Superhero Registration Act. Well, they kind of did with the Sokovia Accords. They kind of fit it into what's already happened in the Marvel Universe and then kind of built a civil war between them, you know, and I thought that was really cool. It was nothing like the original story pretty much, but had some elements and it was a good adaptation of that. But X-Men 97, the Trial of Magneto episode 2, oh my god, people complain about those Fox movies always putting Magneto in all of them, when they're like, they don't have to, but I'm like, Magneto's so fucking cool, like, even, like, Ian McKellen is, like, old as hell, like, I don't even know how old Ian McKellen is, but he's been old since I was a child, so, like, you know, and, like, all those, you know, Magneto scenes, like, even, like, the Michael Fassbender stuff, just, like, Days of Future Past, you know, he like just fucking lifts an entire stadium up and just drops it in there. You know, I'm like, god damn, that's cool. And I first class when he kills Kevin Bacon. I can't remember his character now. It's on the top of my head. But like he basically just kills him with like the Nazi coin he tortured him with and the time he killed his mom, and he's like, you know, we have the same goals. That's what Magneto's like, we have the same goals, but you had the unfortunate circumstance of murdering my mom. So now I have to kill you. And he killed him with the coin he was trying to force him to use when he was younger and didn't fully understand how to use his powers and stuff like that. And then he became pretty much Omega level mutant. That's pretty much Magneto. And so basically with how X-Men 97 is going so far is like Magneto's now head of the X-Men. And basically he's like, yeah, I do still believe that mutants should be superior to humans, but in the dying wish of my great friend, Charles Xavier, who I don't think Charles Xavier said he's going to come back this season. I just feel it in my heart because they hired the voice actor to come back for flashbacks. So in my mind, like if they're hiring just for that, you know, I don't know. Why don't you just bring him back? Basically how the original series ended is that someone basically did something. I can't remember whatever Sonic Blast or whatever that made Charles go crazy and like he was dying and shit like that. And so they had to contact the Shi'ar Empire, and now he took off of the Shi'ar Empire because They have the technology to probably fix that shit. But I think Xavier's definitely still alive. And I feel like you can't do like an X-Men movie without Xavier, because, like, you know, I just feel like you can't, you know. Magneto's been pretty badass, you know. He's always badass, and I fucking love Magneto. And, yeah, because episode 3 is the one I recently watched, which, I gotta say, they adapted the Madeline Pryor Goblin Queen storyline. So much better than the original story, because the original story was so fucking weird. You know, it's like, Jean Grey dies, and then Scott meets a woman who looks exactly like Jean in Alaska or something like that, and it is Jean or something like that, and then they come back, they have a baby, then they find out that Jean is a clone of the original Jean that Mr. Sinister made to get Scott and Jean's baby, because Scott and Jean's genetics are pretty amazing, according to Mr. Sinister, stuff like that. And then, you know, they have baby, and the baby's Cable, by the way. If you didn't know, that baby at the end of the episode is Cable, technically should be. Well, it gives all the signs to it, because Cable is Scott and Madeline Pryor's daughter, son, had a techno virus, and he was sent to the future, and it's kind of, and Scott, you know, doesn't like the whole fact, because his dad's a space pirate, like, or if they do an MCU, probably a Ravager. I could see he, like, from Earth and became a Ravager. That's how I assume they're going to do it, if they do it in the MCU. And then, you know, and so Cable, you know, has a little bit of animosity towards Scott, and, you know, and it's weird, because, like, they sent him to the future with Bishop, because, like, in the future, they would have a way to cure Cable, so it's like, we either lose our son and send him to the future, which, I don't know, like, I feel like Bishop's, like, time, you know, time wristband or whatever, like, he had to wait for it to recharge and fix, and then he could go back to the future, but, like, isn't time, I have to imagine time travel technology is more advanced in the future. I don't know. Cable and, you know, Bishop have been going back and forth, like, the entire, you know, coming back and the entire year, we've got to change the future again. You know, I'm like, I don't think what you're doing is going to work. I think you just got to accept that one day the world's going to end, and you just got to accept it. Just quit fighting the good fight, bud. No, they did that Ireland. And basically in this story, they, like, adapted this story so well with Madeline Pryor. Eventually Jean Grey comes back to the X-Mansion, and there she's just like, I need the X-Men. And then Beast does all these tests on her, and he's like, this is the original Jean, and I looked at your DNA, and it looks like you're the clone. And, like, all of Jean's memories were put into Madeline Pryor. I'm just calling him Madeline Pryor to make it easy. And then Mr. Sinister's like, finally, I can get that baby. And then he has, like, this mind control thing over her. And then eventually it breaks and they save the kid. And then the kid has a technovirus and they have to send it to the future. I'm like, and then Madeline goes off on her own because, like, I need to live my own life. And you're Jean, and you should live Jean's life. And I should have my own and move forward. You know, like, great story. I don't know if she's done in the series or she'll come back. But, like, it's just they just adapted it so much better than the original comic story. Like, the original comic story was fucking stupid. And, like, even the writer, I think, was it Chris Claremont? He even mentioned, like, I hated fucking doing that. He was a very big believer in characters die and it leaves an impact. And, you know, that was his way of storytelling. But it's also, comics are also made for kids, not grown men in their 30s like me. And they have to, you know, not kids don't want to see their favorite characters die all the time. It's just, you know, crazy, crazy opinion, but, yeah, it's cool. Everyone, make sure you check out my music under Shweezy, wherever you stream music at. I am getting the release schedule figured out. I'm getting everything all taken care of right now, and so I'm really excited about that, getting it all ready to go. But you can also check out those announcements over on so any social media. It's at the Shweezy, so make sure you're checking that out as well. Patreon, Cash App, and PayPal are great ways to say thank you for being a friend and financially support this show any way you know how, which I like to say is
cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff.
But you can also do all the free shit. Make sure if you're listening to the show, you check out our YouTube page and do all those things. Comment, subscribe, like, dislike, whatever you need to do, and share with your friends. And if you're listening to the show, obviously leave a review, give us a 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1 star rating. So
you bet I'm coming up in May.
Let me drink my Red Bull. I am on a tea break right now, and if you don't know what a tea break is, you are too young to be listening to this show. There we go. Let's jump into previous week right now. Previous week right now is the news from previous weeks that we have been going, that we will be going over right now. So
let's just jump into it.
Mark Driscoll tries to justify "How dare you" sermon, but facts don't match testimony of others, from the Royce Report. Disgraced former pastor former Mars Hill pastor Mark Driscoll has posted a video attempting to justify his infamous sermon from 15 years ago in which he screams, "How dare you!" I think we might need to put the Midwest emo on. But like other explanations Driscoll has given, the facts don't match the recollections of former staff from the now-shuttered Seattle megachurch. Driscoll resigned from Mars Hill in 2014 after an internal investigation at the church found Driscoll guilty of arrogance and a quick temper and leading in domineering manner. He then moved to Scottsdale, Arizona, and launched the Trinity Church, where some former staff have accused him of cult-like actions like mandated loyalty and 24/7 surveillance of members. Driscoll preached his infamous sermon entitled "Marriage and Men" at Mars Hill in 2009, and has been used by critics to highlight what they say is Driscoll's angry and abusive leadership. A former Mars Hill member told Mike Cosper, host of the extremely popular podcast The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, that the sermon typified Driscoll's core message. That message was, "You suck, do better, do like me," Cosper recalls. Clips from that sermon have gone viral on social media. Driscoll screaming, "How dare you," was also mixed into songs Sticks and Stones by King's Kaleidoscope and featured in the signature open of the Rise and Fall podcast. The producer of the podcast eventually removed Driscoll's soundbite from the open in request of Chad Gardner, who wrote Sticks and Stones. But in a video posted last Sunday, Driscoll claimed that his anger in the sermon was justified, and to his critics and enemies that have used it, Driscoll says, "Shame on you." According to Driscoll's recent video, the infamous sermon came a few years after his wife Grace had revealed to him that she had been sexually assaulted before the couple had met. Driscoll said the news wrecked him. Yet as Grace began to tell her story in the church, more women felt safe to come forward with their stories of abuse, Driscoll said. "And the thought of men doing these things to not to daughters, but God, the Father's daughters, it just made me furious," he added. Driscoll said on the day he gave the sermon, women were coming up to him between services sharing their abuse stories with him, and by the end of the day, I was completely emotionally devastated and angry and furious at all the damage done to women, starting with my wife. Okay. Here's the thing about the whole Mark Driscoll thing. Like, he is not a good person. He is definitely cult leader, definitely has cult leader status written all over him. But the thing is, with that sermon, like, the talking points, you know, like, I kind of agree with him, you know? You know, I've listened to it. You know, I kind of agree with him. Like, how dare you do this to women, you know, God's children, how dare you do that, you know? I have to say, I kind of agree with him. I, just because you're a cult leader doesn't mean there's things I can't agree with. I agree with him, like, you know, and it's especially in, like, a church setting, though. I like the idea that you're, like, men shouldn't abuse women like that, you know? And I have to imagine he was very fired up because it was his wife, and, you know, it's one of those things he's known for a while, and, you know, people keep stuff like that a secret, or they try to block it out of their memory, and eventually it comes back one day. You know, that shit always comes back one day. And I gotta tell you, like, yeah, I agree with him. You know, churches need to do better, and some, you know, Mike Bickle, you know, maybe this the opposite end of the cult leader spectrum, Mark Driscoll and Mike Bickle. Mike Bickle is for abusing women. In fact, he loves doing it. But Driscoll's like, how fucking dare you do that to God's children, you know? And they're both equally bad, though. Yeah, no. But the thing, I think, what really came out of that sermon is showing, like, his anger and, like, fury and, like, how probably he treats other people. And people are like, yeah, I work with him. He works. I know one of the guys in Emory and on the Bad Christian podcast, I know he used to be, like, a prominent member at one of the Mars Hill branches or whatever. So I think he knows Mark Driscoll and does not have a lot of good things to say about that man. You know, You know, the sermon really just like uncovered his arrogance and quick temper, you know, and as you say, domineering manner, you know, and he definitely has that cult leader mentality. But I don't know. I agree with that sermon. But I like how he just like decided after he got kicked out of Mars Hill. And I used to think Mars Hill was kind of cool because I think the singer Dustin Kensrue, so I don't know if I said that last name, of Thrice, he used to be like the worship pastor there. I thought that was like the coolest shit ever. But then that all fell apart. I don't think they work together anymore. I just like he moved to Scottsdale and he was just like, I can turn the cult shit up to 1,000 because there is something about like living in a warmer climate that makes people act a lot dumber. I don't know what it is. Like you hear like stories from Florida, you know, you always hear dumbass stories from Arizona, New Mexico, and like Southern California. You hear a lot of things. There has to be something about warm weather. Because I really do think there is something about, like, the weather that makes you, or there is something about, like, your area, your climate, or whatever, that makes you think and behave differently. Like, when I came back to Missouri, like, something in me was like, I want to listen to, like, all the pop-punk stuff that I used to listen to. Again, all that angst and edgy stuff. And all that stuff is, like, guys from the Midwest or small towns who are like, fuck this place fucking sucks, and I'm gonna die here, and I don't want to, you know, that, and, like, stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, I feel it now, but, we gotta say, Marky Mark Driscoll, you're a cult leader. Like, what's he doing nowadays? Nowadays, he's always in Arizona, and they're like 24/7 surveillance and mandated loyalty. Isn't loyalty one of those things you earn from someone, not request from them? Like, I know, like, if you start working with someone, like, one of the big things I would, and I don't know if that's loyalty is good to an extent, you know, like, honestly, like, you want people who are loyal to you, but I think it's kind of like a two-way street, you know, with loyalty, you know, like loyalty to you, loyalty to me. Like we work together. It's not like you need to have loyalty to me. I don't give a shit if I have loyalty to you. It's stuff like that. I'm like, no, but loyalty's not that bad. You know, I don't hate that. It's just like earned loyalty for each other, you know, and like you say, let's have some loyalty with each other and like, you know. But yeah, the 24/7 surveillance is that's fucking cult. That's cult. Like, if your church is requiring 24/7 surveillance on your life, you are in a cult. And what I want to tell you is, and that's weird, and especially if you're in a cult and if you have a hard time leaving, because, like, when I decided to leave Christianity, I did not have that hard of a time. You know, I still get asked, you know, people want to ask me to play at their church for free, but I'm like, no. Sorry about the clicks. Because it's not paid. And so it's like, well, this means I'm volunteering my own time. And two, I don't agree with a lot of the messages, though. But if they pay me, I think I'll be fine with it. But I think I've talked enough shit that that's not talking too much shit. I don't think that's going to happen. And two of my guitars have Protect Trans Kids stickers on them. So not something churches don't like people who are not white conservatives. So, you know, that's probably a deal breaker for a lot of churches, but yeah, I don't know. If you want me to play there, tell me the money first, and then I'll consider it. You know, I don't even care if the guys suck, if you pay me. It's like, you know, money's money, you know, I'll play, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like being a plumber, you know, you could be the best plumber ever, but like sometimes you're going to have to work on, pardon the pun here, but sometimes you have to work on shitty toilets, you know, and stuff like that. So I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, Mark Driscoll, could you do better, please and thank you, because I agree with your sermon. I just think you probably need some therapy. I think therapy will probably help you out there and ways to deal with that shit, you know, and I think you can keep your beliefs. You can go to therapy and keep your beliefs. I'm just letting you guys know that. If your church is like, no, don't go to therapy, then yeah, that's also a cult too, because they're trying to control your mind and how you think. That's the way it is. FNX Fitness, the ultimate destination for fitness enthusiasts looking to reach their peak performance and achieve their health goals. Are you tired of the same old fitness routines that leave you feeling uninspired and unmotivated? Look no further than FNX Fitness, where they bring a fresh and innovative approach to your fitness journey. At FNX Fitness, they believe that true fitness goes beyond just physical strength. It's about nourishing your body and mind and soul to unlock your full potential. That's why they offer a wide range of high-quality supplements and products designed to support your active lifestyle. Fuel your workouts and enhance your recovery with the scientifically formulated supplements. From pre-workout energizers to post-workout recovery blends, FNX Fitness has you covered every step of the way. Their products are carefully crafted using premium ingredients, ensuring you get the nutrients you need to perform at your best. But FNX Fitness is more than just supplements. It's a community of like-minded individuals who share your passion for fitness and well-being. Join their supportive community and gain access to expert advice, workout tips, and motivational content that will keep you inspired and on track towards your goals. They understand that fitness is a personal journey, which is why they offer a wide range of products to cater to your individual.